Well, in our pastor's brains, everything is a series, and this coronavirus, COVID-19, is no exception. And to be honest with you, we've thought about different series titles that we could do during this time. One was Disinfecting Fear, you know, and have an image of, you know, soap suds and rubber gloves and everything else. Another one was, we were going to call one Contagion, how we can become contagious Christians. That was another one. Another one that we thought of was Outbreak, you know, and actually just having the VHS cassette cover of the movie Outbreak with Dustin Hoffman and just crossing that out and talking about unleashing the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I didn't say that they were good or that they were usable, but that is just the way our pastor brains are wired. But instead, we're in this series called Not Afraid. And I think it is so relevant and so necessary. You know, something that is contagious and even more contagious and during this season, this time, is fear. One reason for fear is the fact that the spread of this COVID-19, I mean, we keep hearing and talking about, a lot of people are talking about the spread and the stay-home order, and you're doing the right thing by staying home. And we're trying to minimize the amount of contact that we have with people, not because we don't like people, but because it's what's best of us and the most ecumenical thing that we can do as the church. You know, fear is contagious. It's true. I mean, a lot of people are fearful that the stock market is crashing or it's waning, that schools are going to be closed even longer, which I know for many parents brings on another layer of fear, that businesses are shutting down. I mean, that is a real fear. In fact, a local business here in Naperville has already closed because of this pandemic. And longer isolation, that is a real fear, that we're going to be in isolation even longer. But another reason for fear that we keep hearing about is that everybody is a potential carrier. All of us are potential COVID-19 carriers. And so we have to be concerned about that. And, you know, COVID-19 doesn't discriminate. It doesn't matter your age, your gender, your race, your socioeconomic status. COVID-19 is non-discriminatory. It will go after everyone. And so there is a fear of this that is contagious. But I began to think about, if fear is contagious, then what else is contagious? In fact, the truth is, we're all carriers of something. Every one of us is carrying something. And when people get around you, I want you to be challenged by this question. When people get around you, what are they catching? During this season of time in your life, when people get around you, what are they catching from you? Is it fear? Are you passing fear around? Is it maybe peace? Are people catching calm when they're with you because you are you're a carrier of peace? What about trust? Are people catching trust? In fact, is your trust enough even for other people to build their trust because of yours? And then what about hope? Maybe this morning hope is an opportunity for you, and you think to yourself that I want to be a carrier of hope. And your hope is enough even for someone else to have hope. We're all carriers of something. The question is what you're carrying worth catching? I want you to think to yourself, is what I'm carrying worth catching? A significant scripture for me this week that was so important and so impactful, and I want to share it with you, was actually found in Romans chapter 15. Now, I want to give you a minute if you need to go and run and grab your Bible. Go grab your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, typically here at Trinity, we want you to take the one that's in the pew because we love God's word to go out. But unfortunately, we can't do that. So I want to turn your attention to maybe even the Bible app. So if you don't have a Bible, download the Bible app online. And it's a really phenomenal app that you can use. But Romans 15 is where we're going to be reading. Let me give you a little bit of context as you're finding that. Paul is writing to a scared and divided people here in Romans chapter 15. In fact, there was circumstantial tension that was that they were experiencing in Rome. In fact, the Jewish Christians at the time were really conflicted about who to care for. Were they going to care more for the other Jewish Christians, or was now this new understanding that Paul was bringing to them that they were going to care for the Gentiles as well? So there was this circumstantial tension that was being experienced, and people were afraid. The Roman Empire was starting to come down on Christians. I mean, there was just a lot of things that were going on. So that's kind of a little bit of the context as we go into Romans chapter 15, verses 13. Let me read this. It says, "I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him." Now, let me just stop there for a second. Now, you're going to notice up on the screen here that we left fill after fill blank. And the reason is because when we look at Paul's words, it says, "I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely." I want you to put your name in there. You know, this is a great passage to take the "you" that Paul was referring to, because it's non-discriminatory. It's not speaking to specifically to one group of people. It's speaking to all of us. So I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill Steve completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. I love this scripture. Fill your name in there. And then read that scripture again. It's so important. And in this, there's a couple of quick things I want to point out to you. Number one, God is the source of hope. God is the source of hope. The thing about hope is that it's always looking forward. Hope is, it looks forward with expectancy and desire. And in fact, the entire Old Testament is a story of frustrated hope. It was that people that desired for God to do something, and he was, they just didn't realize it. They didn't realize it. So there was this frustrated hope in the entire Old Testament because they were looking forward to something that hadn't yet happened. In fact, Paul indicates to the Romans just a few verses before 13 where we're reading. In verse 4, he says, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction." Now he's speaking about the Old Testament. "That through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." So here's the cool thing that means for us. Paul is literally telling us that everything God has ever written in scripture was to give hope to those who believe. That's a good word for us this morning. Everything that God has ever written in scripture was to give hope to those who believe. See, many in the Old Testament thought that God was done. You can go through story after story and you can find examples where people thought God was done. But God wasn't done when Noah and his family were on the boat. God wasn't done when Sarah was barren in her old age and couldn't have a child. God wasn't done rescuing Joseph when he was in prison. I mean, this was the one who was supposed to be the hope of Israel, Joseph. And yet we find him in the middle of a prison. And God wasn't done in that situation. Even when the Israelites were backed up against the Red Sea, God wasn't done. He was about to do something miraculous in front of them. The future king of Israel, David, you know, God wasn't done when he was being taunted and mocked by a giant. Or when he found himself hiding in a cave, running from Saul. God wasn't done. God wasn't done when Jonah was in the belly of the whale. And God wasn't done when Jesus was in the grave for 3 days. He was not done. In fact, he wasn't done when Paul cried out to God with this thorn in his flesh. And he said, "God, remove it from me." And he asked him 3 times. And even in the midst of that suffering, God wasn't done. Because God's not done. And it's because there is hope. Let me tell you, COVID-19 is not the end of the story. Do you hear me? You might need to turn your computer up or turn your TV up and hear this truth. COVID-19 is not the end of the story because God is not done. You see, hope is not done because God is not done. Without hope for the future, there is no power for the present. Hope is not done because God is not done. This is not the end of the story. Now, I will share with you how you view the future and how this is all going to end will really determine how you treat the present. How you view the end of all of this will really determine how you treat this in the present. Because without hope in the future, there's no power for the present because you have nothing to look forward to, nothing to hope for. Here's the second thing I want to point out about the Romans 15:13 passage. Paul's prayer is for you, and you heard me share that already, but he's talking to both believers and non-believers. It's, again, non-discriminatory because, and the reason why that he wants the desire for you to be filled completely with joy and peace. That's Paul's prayer, to be filled completely with joy and peace. And why? Because you trust in him. Now, the him in this passage is Jesus. So because you trust in Jesus, you can be filled completely with joy and peace. When you're filled completely, what is there no room for? Anything else. There's no room for anything else when you're filled completely. It's like the Thanksgiving meal. You know, you get to the point when you're eating the Thanksgiving meal, you get to the end, and everybody kind of says the same thing. I can't eat another bite. That's right. I can't eat another bite. How do you fill something? Well, you fill something from above. It's hard to fill things from the bottom, but typically when we fill things from above. In fact, I want to kind of share with you this object lesson that I thought about when I was thinking about this passage. There is a flow to this passage. In fact, the source of our hope and the source of peace and joy is God. Right? When we look at the passage, we find that this is that God is our source. And so what he wants to do is he wants to fill you, right? So this is you. And what comes out, the substance of the scripture is actually joy and peace. So this is the substance of the scripture. God wants to fill you with joy and peace. So as he continues to fill you with joy and peace, what happens when we spring a leak? What happens when all of a sudden we find ourselves leaking because now our faith has a hole in it? Maybe the question we need to ask ourselves is, what is filling us? Is God filling us? Or is the news filling us? Or is it fear filling us? Is it the different things in our life that we realize are not beneficial? They're not helpful. And they're filling us versus us being filled by God and experiencing his joy and peace. So the question we have to ask is then, how are we filled? Well, we're filled because we trust in God. So as God pours into us, the goal of this passage and the good news as God fills us is that he has also offered us a hope and a salvation. So check this out. I have this piece of tape right here that says salvation. And so we're going to cover this hole with God's salvation. Now, the root word of salvation is salve. It literally means to cover over. So God is the one who desires to cover the hole in our faith. You see, because lack of trust is like a hole in our faith. When we don't trust God, it's like having a hole that leaks out. And the good news is Jesus covers us with his salvation. So when Jesus covers us, then as God fills us with joy and peace, guess what happens? We begin to overflow. See, this is the goal. The goal is to overflow. We don't want to leak through a hole in our faith. We want to overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to overflow. As God continues to fill us, instead of us coming out in the hole of our faith, it comes out and overflows in our life. You don't want to leak hope. You want to overflow with confident hope. Because hope is about looking forward. It's anticipation. It's expectancy. It's desire. I want to end my message time this morning with a story of a church found in the New Testament. This church overflowed with confident hope, and they ended up actually changing their city. In the midst of persecution, in the midst of trial, this particular church was going through it, and they were actually hiding underground. They couldn't meet in person. They had to meet in homes. They had to meet in smaller groups. And church, I really believe that we're in a season and time where that's going to be necessary. The church I'm referring to is actually found in Thessalonica. And the church in Thessalonica was filled with hope. And it was a small church. They actually didn't even have enough members to be called a synagogue. So even the Jewish Christians that were meeting together, they didn't even have enough people to call themselves a synagogue. That's how small they were. And they were meeting in a small town. The town only had roughly maybe about 170,000 people. I mean, right now, the city of Naperville has about 164,000 people. So the city of Thessalonica was roughly about the same size as Naperville. So Paul writes these words to the church in 1 Thessalonians 1. Now, I want you to look at this. Check this out. 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 2 and 3. So how do you remember this scripture? It's actually 1 Thessalonians 1, 2, 3. Look at this. We always thank God for all of you and pray for you constantly. As we pray to our God and Father about you, we think of your faithful work, your loving deeds, and the enduring hope you have because of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's the incredible thing. Look at what Paul was thinking about when he thought about this church. He thought about their faithful work. He thought about their loving deeds. And he thought about their enduring hope. That's what he thought about when he thought about this church. Because this church, they were faith spreaders. They were love givers. And they were hope dealers. That's what the church in Thessalonica was. That's what we would be known at the end of this. That Trinity was faith spreaders, love givers, and hope dealers. And it's and why? The scripture tells us why. It's because of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't forget that. And it wasn't because of the circumstances of the world. But it was because they worshiped the one who is the Lord over the world. They didn't look at the circumstances around them and say, that's the end of the story. Instead, they worshiped the one who was the Lord of all and the Lord over all. Do you see the church in this moment? And as Paul was writing to them, they became contagious. You know what else is contagious? Fear. We've talked about it. But so is faith. So go and be faithful workers. Hate is contagious, but so is love. So go and be love givers. Lastly, worry is contagious, but so is hope. Go and be hope dealers. This past week, I challenged my family to be hope dealers. And we thought about it and we came up with this idea. And so this is how we were hope dealers this week. We ended up actually drawing this on our garage, and it's in chalk. So we spent the day and actually drew this out, and my kids, you know, they helped color this in, and then we put the sun around it, and this has been on our garage, and people have been driving by and looking at it because we want to be hope dealers. We want people to know that there is hope at the end of all of this and that God is not done. So because of Jesus Christ, they were filled with faith, not fear. Because of Jesus Christ, they were filled with faith, not fear. That's the opportunity. We can proclaim this today. Because of Jesus Christ, I want to be filled with faith and not fear. So let these words pour over you. And again, through all of that, let that the overflow, right, be of the power of the Holy Spirit, that we will overflow with confident hope during this time. Romans 15, 13. Just hear these words over you this morning. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the confident hope that you desire to give us, and that we wouldn't, with a lack of trust, come into a place where we have a hole in our faith. But instead, we know that it's through your salvation that that hole is covered. It's through your love that covers that hole, that salve over our mistrust and distrust. And so, Lord Jesus, I pray that we would overflow with confident hope because of the power of your Holy Spirit in our lives. Lord, we want to be people of faith, not fear. Lord, we want to be people who are going to faithfully work and are going to love givers and hope dealers this morning. We again give you honor and we give you praise, Lord. And I pray that you would speak into and move out the fear that is in our lives and replace it with your peace and your joy. We ask this in your name. Amen. And now I just want to encourage you as we end our time together with the benediction. And this benediction, it goes over your week. And I pray that it is a blessing for you this morning. And so I encourage you just to open your hands and to receive this. And as you know it, I encourage you to say it with me. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen. You are sent.